Hey folks, if you're being treated for anxiety and depression and you're still struggling, consider joining one of my DBT groups. Skills groups are a supportive, inclusive, cost-effective way to get the skills you need to create the life you want. Go to my website, rebeccashackney.com/groups for more information. I'm Rebecca Shackney. As a psychotherapist, I spend my days talking to people about the value of creating a comfortably organized space. Meanwhile, I struggle with keeping my own house in order. But like everyone else, I'm trying to do better. This is A Therapist Takes Her Own Advice. Today, I'm speaking with Marcia Sloman, a professional organizer whose kind, non-judgmental nature could make anyone feel good about getting organized. Welcome, Marcia Sloman. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. So why don't you tell me about yourself and what you do?
As a professional organizer, I do a lot of things, but of course they all come under the category of organizing. So I help people organize their stuff in their homes, in their offices, in their businesses. Their personal stuff. Sometimes it's simply a closet. Sometimes it's might not sound so simple, but a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Kitchen is kind of like the main hub of the house. In offices, there are a lot of, even today, paper files, digital files. I have a technology background, so digital files are not fearful for me to dive into. So I organize a lot of different things for different people.
Interesting. I like that. So do you do, now that we are doing things virtually, are you organizing virtually?
Yes, I am working with people over the phone, over Skype, over Zoom. Those are sessions together where I'm more guiding them and maybe motivating them. They're clients that I've worked with for years. So we have a rapport. I know what their stuff looks like. I know what their rooms look like. I have a very visual memory.
Mm-hmm.
So I know where their things are. I know.
So these aren't new people who you're going in to see. These are people who you have a relationship with.
Yes, yes. During this pandemic, yes, I have worked with strangers over the internet or by phone, by email, by text, helping them. That usually involves helping them plan, organize their spaces. It involves pictures. So organizing takes so many different forms and can be virtual as well as in place.
Interesting. So let's take a step back and tell me how you start with someone. What do you do? What's the process? What is your philosophy? What is the process?
My process is to ask a lot of questions. Because I came from a technology background, we designed computer systems way back then. Sorry, in the 70s. I'm dating myself. but we designed computer systems by asking the people who were going to use the computer systems, the clients, what they needed, what they're comfortable with, what kind of information did they use on a regular basis. These are the same questions that I ask my clients, helping them organize. So when it's a space or paper file or digital file, I ask a lot of questions about how they use the stuff, whatever the stuff is, whatever it is, how they use it, how they need to access it, how important it is. How much is there? What's the mass? Whether they're looking to downsize it or just organize what they have. So there's a lot of questions involved before we actually touch anything.
Interesting, interesting. I like that. So you're planning out the process before you even get started with anything. So when you actually get in there, do you get pushback? You know, so the person said, I want to do this. I want to organize my kitchen or whatever. And do you get pushback from them once they've created the plan?
It's funny that you use the word pushback. I don't see pushback. My focus is on the person wanting organizing. I work with a lot of organized people. They know what they want. They know actually what they need. I don't push any particular philosophy on them. I don't push any particular order. Nobody's going to order their home or their office the way I order mine. I can suggest those things that I find helpful, but part of the questioning that I do when I work with my clients initially and ongoing is how they like things. I look at the space that they have, and I get to know their personality and their needs by seeing what they have. Sometimes they want to change that, but oftentimes they need to be able to find their things after I leave.
Sure.
So
that absolutely.
So the systems that I put together in place for them, the organizing systems I put in place for them, are legacies for them. It's they have to live with it. So I don't see it as pushback. I ask questions as an organizer. They ask me questions, also.
So how do you work with families, couples, where they have different needs and different philosophies?
I find that a lot. Different personalities complement each other. You can have a very left-brained person married to a very right-brained person. And one of the things that you kind of like have to figure out is what the boundaries are in their spaces. What are their shared spaces? When I work with a family, for instance, that shares a kitchen and shares cooking activities in the kitchen, the family has to participate in the activities because everybody needs to know where things are. Mm-hmm. And typically when we're done, we leave everything labeled so that everybody knows where to put things back when they're done with the kitchen. So, you know, we kind of, let's say a kitchen, we organize, everything has a category. Mm-hmm. So there's the snacks category, and it might be, you may have a cabinet for salty snacks versus a cabinet for sweet snacks. So the personalities that are going to be using the kitchen, I'm just using the kitchen as an example of any particular room in the house where a shared space, mm-hmm. Everybody's thoughts have to be taken into consideration because everyone has to own it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually that's a conflict that we have in our house a lot. We have a teenager who empties the dishwasher, and then my husband David will go to cook, and he can't find a certain utensil that he needs to do something, and that it creates tension and irritation.
Yes, that's why you know, having a little powwow to talk about priorities and needs is really important, especially in a shared space. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, utensils have a place, and your husband should be able to find the utensils if he's going to be cooking, mm-hmm. Or whoever's cooking should be able to find the utensils, which is why I mentioned labeling. Oftentimes, if we make a change, or mm-hmm. if we decide this goes here, we actually label the space so that everybody kind of has to get used to it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in an individual space, you know, where there's a boundary and this is your space, sometimes to get used to that, you need that label to say, oh, yeah, this is where it goes at the end of the day. So if there's a utensil drawer, I like to put the label in a place where it's not necessarily visible to the public. So sometimes I put it in the inner lip of the drawer. That way, all you need to do is pull out the drawer a little bit and you say, oh, these are barbecue utensils, or these are baking utensils. Mm-hmm. And it depends upon the size of the kitchen also.
Sure.
As sometimes there's too many utensils for the space to fit into. So you kind of like have to figure out those priorities. Do I have to let go of it or store, you know, the infrequently used utensils in another place? Mm-hmm. So these are more questions to ask that powwow of shared people in a shared space.
And what do you do when there's a disagreement, when one person thinks there are too many things and we need to get rid of some things, and the other person says they need this stuff?
Well, I'm not a mediator.
That's when you call me.
Yes.
Couples therapist, individual.
But usually if you have this discussion about priorities, then there's, I don't know, you know, for 27 years I've been doing this and I've not, I actually haven't experienced battles.
That's good to know. That's, I'm glad that that's, you know, put that on your website. So I want to tell you, for me, I get overwhelmed by other people's stuff. I don't know if other people feel this way, but especially my kids' stuff. And they have so many toys and so many stuffed animals, and there's all they are, and they are constantly wanting more and more and more, and it makes me crazy. I think I become so dysregulated when I even just look at my kids' rooms that I can't even begin to do anything with it. And I wonder, what, where would you start there?
My youngest customer, several years ago, he's now in his 30s, but my youngest customer was a seven-year-old. And how he became my customer was I was working with his mom organizing her office papers. And he came into the room and he said, "Mommy, what are you doing?" And she said, "Marcia's helping me organize my office." And he thinks. And he says, "Can Marcia help me organize my room?"
I love that.
And what an invitation, what an honor. So when we were done, we went up to his room, and as you say, there were dinosaurs all over there and Kinects. I don't even know if they sell Kinects anymore. These building toys, mm-hmm. Splattered over there, and balls, and everything was on the floor. There was homework or papers piled on the desk. He did have a desk area, and it was piled on the desk. And there was an order that I could see.
Sounds like one of my children's rooms.
So I asked him about how he'd like. He obviously invited me because he didn't like what he had. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, how would he like these things? And he said, "I want to get to my dinosaurs when I want to get to my dinosaurs, and I don't want it mixed up with my Kinects, my mm-hmm. building blocks." Okay, he knew exactly what he needed, and my personal experience with 7-year-olds or 97-year-olds and everything in between, is they really know. I'm pointing to my gut. They know. They really know exactly what they have needs. They know what their needs are. Mm-hmm. And all I had to do was ask. And his mom stood in the doorway like, "Oh, wow." And this is a bright boy. He's mm-hmm. now a bright man. So as you can see, I do keep in contact, whether I'm working with them or not, I do keep in contact with my customers mm-hmm. for decades.
I love that.
Because we've formed a bond. We have a relationship. So you know, sometimes it's just, as we started talking earlier, it's just about asking the questions and thinking. There's a thought process, and everybody's got that in their head.
Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you, when I first met you, I don't even know how many years. I guess it was like 5.5 years ago when my now 6-year-old was a little baby. I wanted to hire you. I wanted to hire you. So I came to my husband, David, my producer, and I said, "David, I met this woman. Her name is Marcia. She's an organizer. I want her services. I want to hire her." And he said, "No." He said, "We don't need it. We don't need it. I tried to organize this house when we first moved in here. I don't remember." Do you want to speak for yourself, David? I don't.
Well, I mean, she's already said that she's not a mediator, so I don't want to open up a can of worms that she's not prepared for. But I will say that one person in a family of five wanting to be organized is not enough. you know, everybody needs to kind of commit to be on board for the whole thing. And that's where I think we've kind of lost, where I've lost interest in even really trying, because I had set up the kitchen the way I liked it. I, you know, I have a lot of utensils. I have basically four places where they will go. There's the, you know, the A-list, which go in the drawer right to my, to the right of the stove, where everything is at my fingertips. There's the even more, the wooden spoons and stuff that sit in a jar on the countertop for the things that I need to have available immediately. I have the barbecue tools and the kind of B-list tools on another drawer. And then there's like the deep storage for things that we only use once in a while. And I feel like that's a great system. however, no one else either doesn't know what's an A-list or what's a B-list. That's part of it. Because my son will empty the dishwasher and just throw anything anywhere, especially if he's mad at us. He'll just put anything wherever he wants. And so,
sorry.
So I wind up while, you know, I'm trying to cook something and there's a pancake that's burning on the stove and I want, and the spatula that I'm using isn't doing the job, and I want my fish turner specifically. I want that spatula, and I go to where it's supposed to be, and it's not there. And I go to the B-list, and it's not there. And it's go to the jar, and it's not there. And now I'm like, okay, is it in the dishwasher? Is it now? There's just too many possibilities of where it can be, and so this is where the frustration is that we all kind of have to be on the same page for it to work. And you know, if we're gonna hire somebody to do it. We got to make sure that everyone's committed to the solution.
So maybe in your case, in your kitchen, you do label the A. Mm-hmm. You put an A on the tools. That's, you know, that's not invasive. It's not disruptive. It's not visually unappealing. You can either with a Sharpie, but my experience is even Sharpies wash off. With a plastic label maker, you could put an A or a B. Or a D for deep storage on each of your utensils, because in your family, utensils are a critical instrument. So, and every family is different, as I mentioned. So you asked me, do you actually label the utensils? In your case, maybe yes, because you have different levels of utensils.
But I think that, and what I will say about that is, I mean, yes, maybe when we first moved in here, David organized things and had them the way he wanted them. I was busy during that time. I had a baby who was still nursing, and I was not participating so much. I did participate, but I wasn't. He was the lead in the unpacking and putting things in places. And thank God, I mean, I was happy about that. But now I keep mentioning, I want to do this. I want to hire you. I want to do this. And he keeps giving me the pushback of, it's going to just go right back to the way it was. I don't want to pay for something that's just going to become undone so quickly.
And here's the other problem that I think that we've had in the house is that we have a lot of junk drawers. You know, we have a lot of catch-all spots that drive me bananas. And they weren't like that when we first moved in. But of course, within 6 months, you know, there's things out on the counter and people are coming over. So people just grab stuff. When I say people, I mean Rebecca, grab stuff and shoves it in a drawer. And so after about three or four of those, that drawer organization is just shot. And, you know, we can have a fight about it. I can say, hey, that drawer was meant to be for cloth napkins. And now it's got Sharpies and magic markers and scissors and somebody's watch in it. Okay. Why is that? And then she gets upset that I'm attacking her, and then it becomes a whole thing. And it's like, you know what? Why even bother? Why even try? Is where it kind of came down to.
But I think that the most important thing is that we both want the same things. I'm sorry, did you?
No, that's fine. You know, we both gave up.
You know, honestly, I think most people like rules. I do think most people like rules. So as an example, you have multiple junk drawers. That's fabulous that you have the space to have multiple junk drawers, but you can identify what type of junk goes into each particular drawer. So, okay, one drawer was really made for napkins. Did napkins move to a closet? Did napkins move to a cabinet? Napkins must have gone someplace else.
That's a whole other issue.
Okay. So so you can define your whatever, so to speak, junk. If one drawer is catch-all, you know, the clear the counter drawer. You know, somebody's coming over and you do a one fell swoop. Everything goes into that junk drawer to be sorted out at another time. One of those is sufficient, and then maybe once a month, once a quarter, once every 2 months, whatever, that junk drawer gets cleaned out. It's a project. And if it's multiple families' items belonging to multiple people, then everybody has to participate. Oh, I've been looking for that. It's in the junk drawer.
Right.
So everybody has to participate in the one fell swoop junk drawer, whereas there's other junk, like in the kitchen, scotch tape.
Yeah.
So there's an adhesives category. So maybe one drawer gets dedicated to adhesives, glues, scotch tape, staples, staplers, things that bond things together. So if you think of the category, you can have, category junk drawers of like things together. Many, many, many years ago, before your time, Sesame Street had this fabulous song. So many great things learned on Sesame Street. And the song went, "One of these things is not like the other." Okay, so you know that song.
We do know that song.
So you can do the same thing in your drawers and have categories for each drawer.
Excellent. No, I mean, and the thing is, ultimately, we both want those things. And the reason that it's become so frustrating is we're busy and we don't think about wanting to organize until we can't find the thing we need to use in that moment. And for me, it's overwhelming. It is overwhelming. And David will talk about having organized everything. And if I knew where things went, I would put them there, but I do not. I don't remember, and so I'm happy to do it again. I want to do it again.
So everybody has different skill sets. Everybody's good at something. You're a wonderful therapist. You've got DBT down. You're embracing. You work with your clients. David's a fabulous producer. He has a skill set you don't have. Mm-hmm. You have skill sets he doesn't have. Your boys have different skill sets that as they're growing up, they may surprise you. And they're still learning. You're still learning. My 90-year-old client's still learning. So we're all learning at different stages. But we also have to acknowledge that we're good at certain things and somebody else may not be so good at that. So when I work with my clients where a spouse or a significant other or a child doesn't want to do it, the most important thing is they're empathetical to the other family members who needs that service. Mm-hmm. For instance, one of my clients, it was a comical conversation, but she wanted to be able to convince her spouse, and this isn't you. she wanted to be able to convince her spouse that they needed my services. And the mother in the house said to the dad in the house, "You hire people to do the things that you're not good at. I'm not good at organizing. I want to work with Marcia for a session to learn how to do this, a project." And it's like all of a sudden a light bulb went off. And he said, "Oh, is that all it is?" It's like he was thinking that I was going to be a crutch. I wasn't going to be helpful. I've heard some horror stories about, other services where somebody comes in, they have their own agenda, and poof, they walk out, and that's not what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That could be in any.
You can never find the scissors again.
Yes. Yes.
They're somewhere, but we have no idea where.
Yes, but we all acknowledge that we're really good at some things and others are better.
I am not good at organizing. I am horrible at it.
There's so much to learn.
And I want to learn so badly. But I honestly, for me, I get overwhelmed and I don't know where to start. And then I start and then there's the other person's stuff. Or I'm going to get to this later. And then it's just, I get overwhelmed.
Organizing is also about setting boundaries. I had one client, she was like, oh my God, why didn't I think of that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't. And I made a suggestion. Her teenage son just had clothes strewn all over the room.
Mm-hmm.
Never went beyond his doorway, but had clothes strewn all over the room. And I just said, are they clean or are they dirty? And she said, I think they're dirty. I said, then get him a laundry basket.
Mm-hmm.
And so she did. No time investment in this. It was one simple question. And a month later, she called me. And we did no other projects together, by the way. This was a phone conversation. And about a month later, she said, it worked. I said, what worked? You know, I talked to a lot of people. I said, what worked? She said, the laundry basket. I said, he's putting his dirty clothes in the laundry basket? She said, yes, there's no more slather of clothes all over the room. Oh.
Wow. And you know what's really funny about that is that I work with a lot of parents, and I will hear, you know, all this list of things that they're worried about with their kid or that bother them about their teenager. And then they always say, and their room's a mess. So now I'm going to ask them that question. I'm going to say, so there's clothes all over the floor? Yes. Are they clean or dirty? And then I'm going to, you know, then I'm going to send them to you and you can deal with the rest of them. No, but it's so funny. I mean, because it is normal for a teenager's room to be messy, and it's not pathological, and it's not indicative of how you raised them or your failings as a parent, which I find that, and I think that goes to a lot of the stuff we're talking about. It feels as if we're failing. We're unorganized. We don't know where things are. I'm embarrassed. I don't know. My kid asked me where the tape is, and I'm like, I know we have tape. I don't know where it is.
So the answer is, if it was put away, it's in the
right. Wherever. And I want to know where that place is. I want to find out where that place
is. Yeah, so the question is, where would you put it?
Mm-hmm.
Some of my customers are very funny. They, I like to, you know, give you solutions and set you free. So after we've worked together for a session or a project or whatever, I get a lot of feedback from my customers, and they say, whenever I wonder where to put stuff, I say, what would Marcia do?
I love that.
And it's such a compliment. I mean, I do love it. So I just try to impress upon people the questions to ask yourself. Where would you look for it?
Okay. No, I mean, for me right now, just hearing these questions in general, it's very overwhelming. But as, I mean, you are so easy to talk to and so non-judgmental that I feel like people would have an easy time getting to those places where they can figure out where things go. And tell me, what do they get? I mean, I know that it's important to know where your stuff is, but tell me about how does organizing transform people?
Well, I think after we've finished a project together, everyone feels a sense of freedom, first of all. You know, freedom from anxiety, freedom from mess. And, you know, mess, by the way, doesn't necessarily convert into neat.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's different. I've worked with a lot of artists who their spaces are organized after we have completed organizing their studio. It's organized, but a stranger coming in and go, oh my God, what a mess this is.
Mm-hmm.
And not to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's that fine line between how you want your things to be and how you want it to be projected. But I think they feel a sense of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a sense of control, which is why I named my company in 1992 Under Control. I was fishing around for a name, and I didn't want to name my company Marcia Sloman. It just, that wasn't me. I wanted a name, and I said to a friend of mine, how would you feel after you've worked with me?
I love that.
And they said, under control. I said, that's it. That's the name of my company, Under Control. And it stuck. For me, that was it.
Nice. Nice. That's beautiful. You know, it's funny. I like what you said about how someone's organization looks different than someone else's, where, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean neat. And when I was growing up, my mother had hired a person to come and help clean our house. And I, as a kid, kept my books alphabetized. But every Wednesday, I would come home from school and all my books would be lined up by size. Ugh. So my order, alphabetizing my books, looked messy to her, and she needed to put them in what looked neat to her.
Yes.
But it was organized to me.
Yes.
And so I think that's very interesting. So, it's very personal.
It's always personal. And maybe when you were growing up, you might have had the thought, or if you had had the thought, of maybe putting a little label on your bookshelf, A to C, and then the next shelf, D to G, and then the next shelf. She might have gotten it.
Maybe. And I just put them back every week, and she would put them back every week. It didn't work out very well. But it's okay. It's all right. Is there anything that I didn't touch on that you think is important to talk about?
A lot of people call me because they think they have a clutter situation, or because they're moving to a smaller space, mm-hmm. and so they're downsizing, or I'll call it right-sizing, for their stage in life or for the next step in life. They may be changing jobs. And so when you're in the thick of things, mm-hmm. kind of like now, COVID-19, we're all in the thick of things. We kind of like can't, it's difficult to make decisions. It's difficult to see what your needs are. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why when we first began speaking, it's all about asking yourself a lot of questions, whether I'm there or not, what would Marcia do or not? It's really important when we're organizing to just kind of like take a step back, look at the details in your life. One of my favorite poets when I was growing up was Emily Dickinson. And I can't quote the exact quote, but she said something like, if you take care of the smaller things in life, the big things kind of like put themselves together. Mm-hmm. So whether it's decluttering or right-sizing or downsizing, it's just important to think about the little things and what's important to you. Sometimes all I discuss with people are their priorities. I never touch a thing. When I'm working with phone clients or Skype, I can't touch anything.
Right.
So we discuss priorities. Time management, that's a big thing when organizing, because there's a time investment in organizing. So organizing isn't always about the stuff. It's about your priorities and about kind of managing the time to do the things that you have the priorities, that where your priorities fit in. Mm-hmm. Stephen Covey, in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he stresses in his book that it's not about... I always get this one confused, prioritizing your schedule or scheduling your priorities. It's not about prioritizing your schedule. You know, everybody looks at their calendar and they try to prioritize their schedule. Mm-hmm. It's about scheduling your priorities, taking a step back, looking at what your priorities are, and then figuring out how they fit into your day, into your week, into your month, into your year.
And you know, it's funny, I do that with my clients, with my DBT clients, and talking to them about what their values are and helping them get back in touch with whatever their values are. And are they living a life that is reflective of those values?
Yes.
And I think it's so important to review that. And I like that what you do also coincides so nicely. So I guess I'm wondering is, for instance, when I've talked to a lot of people about this podcast, and I mentioned I was going to be speaking to you, and every person I told said, "Oh, I can't wait for that one. I really need to organize myself." And I wonder what that is. What is that need that we all feel like we need to be organizing, and so many of us feel we're failing at it?
A couple of months ago, when the pandemic started, someone wrote an article in the Huffington Post about cleaning and organizing, and how many people are diving into cleaning and organizing to kind of like help themselves ground. Cleaning and organizing, two very different activities. are grounding. Again, there's that sense of control. Cleaning, you know, a clean space may be an inspiring space. A neat space may be inspiring space, but then again, for the artist, a messy place might be a little bit more inspiring. So I think the organizing aspect, especially during times of stress, kind of gives us a little bit of grounding.
Mm-hmm. So if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
I have a website, undercontrolorganizing.com, that has my phone number, my email on it. I'm very accessible. I give my cell phone. I want people to be able to reach me, whether they're hiring me or not. I want to be reachable. And sometimes I converse in an email with someone, and then they don't need to hire me because I could just pass along some information. I'm definitely accessible.
Thank you so much, Marcia Sloman, for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Rebecca.
And thank you for listening today to A Therapist Takes Her Own Advice. If you have enjoyed what you've heard here, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Future episodes include more interviews and stories about parenting, managing mental health, self-care, and a monthly guided meditation. If you have questions or topics you're interested in, please let me know. Go to my website, rebeccashackney.com, and send me a message through my contact page.